or MyPillow.com. Click on the Giza Dream Sheet Special. Use my promo code USA.
If you're trying to eat a gluten-free diet, USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has something you need to hear.
A new study finds that nearly a third of restaurant items that are labeled gluten-free actually contain gluten. Researchers from Columbia University finding the worst offenders are pizza and pasta. More than 50% of the samples labeled gluten-free ended up containing gluten. Now, gluten showed up more often in dinners than in breakfast items. Also, restaurant foods labeled gluten-free were less likely to test positive in the western U.S. than in the Northeast. The study is published in detail in the latest edition of the American Journal of Gastroenterology. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Astronauts at the International Space Station are awaiting their Easter baskets of treats arriving on Good Friday, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
We have liftoff of the Antares NG-11 mission to the ISS. Engines at full power.
That's the sound of a fresh load of groceries headed for the International Space Station after a launch from Virginia's seashore. Northrop Grumman's Antares rocket blasting off from NASA's Wallops Flight Facility. The capsule with hardware and supplies should arrive by Friday, just in time for Easter. There's no ham on board, but NASA says they do have holiday food, including smoked turkey.
Thank you, Wendy. You can check us out on Facebook at USA Radio. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Okay. Let's hear a little bit about the Flemington area and Hunterdon County weather. Tonight, there's a slight chance that it will drizzle between 3 and 5 o'clock, of course, when you're trying to get home from work or run into the last minute for a grocery or something. Then a slight chance of showers or drizzle after 5. So prepare. Mostly cloudy with a low around 58. Southwest winds at about 8 miles an hour. A chance of precipitation is 20%. Friday, for those of us that are off and some of us still working, a chance of showers with thunderstorms also possible in the later afternoon, 3-ish. Cloudy with a high near 73, so we can enjoy some warmer weather even if it's the sun isn't out. And a mild wind again. Chance of precipitation, though, tomorrow is 50%, so a little bit higher probability of that in the showers and possibly the thunderstorms. In the evening again Friday night. The weekend, though, some showers, actually scattered showers through the whole weekend, but you'll be catching up on that because a three-day forecast sometimes works in our favor. So let's get started with our show.
Fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.
Well, welcome to Life is a Spiritual Occasion, and we air or stream live, if you will, every third Thursday of every month here at HuntertonChamberRadio.com or WHCR-DB. Life is a Spiritual Occasion is an ongoing discussion of spiritual nature of all life. Our show reflects the life force in us, all life, actually, not just in us all, that awakens that awareness, giving us nudges to seek greater love and greater understanding of all life. So, seekers of truth, the theme of today's discussion is miracles happen. Our guest today, Anna Galliano. Thank you. It's not like I don't know you. Anna Galliano knows a little bit about this miracles happen business. Let me tell you a little bit for those of you who don't know Anna just yet. Anna's retired from ExxonMobil in November of 2018 after 38 years of service. At ExxonMobil, Anna worked at several different sites from New Jersey to Texas and back to New Jersey home. Her most recent position, Anna was the community relations advisor at the Clinton ExxonMobil site and sat on several boards, including the Chamber's Board of Directors. In January, Anna joined the Chamber as Vice President, and aren't we lucky that you did? Anna is excited to work with the committee leads and volunteers coordinating chamber signature events, as well as working with our advocacy, economic development, and membership committee. Anna resides in Clinton with her husband, Michael, and enjoys spending quality time with her family and friends. So welcome, Anna.
Thank you, Suzanne. I'm really excited to be here today.
Thank you for being here. So, you know a little bit about the fact that life can change at any minute, don't you?
Yes, I do, firsthand.
How did you come by knowing that? And I'm making a distinction when I ask you that. Mm-hmm. I'm asking, how did you come by knowing that, not the knowledge of it,
right,
but by knowing it?
Well, after the horrific accident that I had in July of 2006, I felt a complete change from that accident. And how I would sum it up is I pretty much faced death coming on to me. Getting hit by an 18-wheeler, where the 18-wheeler ended up in my passenger side seat, and there I was sitting in the driver's side seat, curled up, and which actually saved my life, as well as having a, what some people may or may not understand, an experience of actually seeing myself from almost a distance, being in that horrific accident.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there because
yes.
I'm going to hope that I... Can you see behind me, Anna? If I put this up there, can our folks see this, the car that you were driving in?
Hold it up,
So those two pictures I have with me, four or five, but I just want you to see the destruction of this vehicle and the fact that we're sitting here talking to the lady that was driving it.
Yes. And, you know, from the... as I would say, the graces of God and my mom, who had passed 5 years on that day, 5 years prior to that. And as I say, she was my guardian angel. Because if you look at the driver's side of the car, that was the only unmangled, destroyed
piece of the
part
car.
Of the car.
This mangled is the absolute right word for this.
Yes. And I always say, you know, mom just ran up to the front of the table and said, okay, you and God, you and your 12 disciples, I need your help, because she's not ready to come up here yet, nor am I ready to see her. So taking all that,
let's stop there and go back and tell us, how did this, you know, what were the circumstances around this accident that you had? What were you doing? Why were you on the road to begin with? And what actually happened to you?
I was actually on my way to work
okay.
in that morning.
Okay.
And I was traveling on a Texas highway, which you would probably say it was like 1 in 9 here in North Jersey, pretty busy. And I was trying to switch lanes with my blinker on, and someone decided they weren't going to let me in. They raced up, and when they hit me, the car turned 3 times on the highway and had me facing opposite direction. Facing opposite direction, I saw a red cab with very shiny stainless steel.
A 16-wheeler, are we talking about?
18-wheeler.
18-wheeler.
And I could see the driver's face, as I could still imagine it in my mind as I talk about it. And he looked at me, I looked at him. All I can remember is curling up into a fetal position and letting go, because I thought this was it. I was going to die. And there was nothing I could do. To my surprise.
But when we talked earlier about this, you said to yourself, and I want to interject that, because it was
yes.
so poignant to me when you said it to me, and that is, I'm going to die, and I'm okay.
Right. I resorted to knowing that I thought, okay, I'm going to die, and I was okay. I was calm. Because actually, there was nothing I could do in that matter of seconds that was either going to change it, or that I knew for sure it would change the impact. My life was in the hands of God, my mom, and whomever else was watching over me, and there was nothing else I could do, and I was at peace. Because a lot of us keep thinking, if I die tomorrow, these are the things I want to do. If I, you know, they go into a panic, they get upset about small things. That, at that moment, and when I came out of the accident, and I knew I was okay with just one scratch, one little area that bled from glass on my hand, I said, I have a second chance at life. And I knew then that there was not going to be anything that was going to change me to look at life completely different and in a positive mode and put things into perspective about the things we say and do and complain about on a daily basis. And as I sum it up, are you bleeding? Is it detrimental? Are you dying? And people say no. I said, well, then get over it. There's more to life than this. And sometimes my daughter would get upset with me because I wasn't being as sympathetic as she would want me to be. And I took charge of my own life. And I decided, you know what? It could go that fast. I need to be in charge of myself. I respect myself. I'm proud of the things I've done in life. And I continue to live my life that way.
There's an amazing experience that perhaps some folks that face the terminal nature of a disease,
yes,
and then recuperate, or someone that has a tragedy. But this is the most disruptive, I mean, in moments, as you said, moments. And while this happens in how many seconds?
I could relive minute to minute or second to second, but it was probably on a speed
yeah.
of seconds.
Yes.
From moment of me seeing the gentleman driving that truck to closing my eyes and saying, I'm going.
Yeah, and that's the difference between someone talking about this and someone experience the knowing versus the knowledge,
oh,
the
absolutely.
Experience of it itself. And as I say, there are folks that have either been in the similar situation of an accident, or those that have faced a very frightening experience about the an illness. And we'll see if some of the things that we talk about today has a commonality or resonates with folks that have had that happen in their lives. And by the looks of these, so tell us, so now you're in this car, which we just showed before that, let me see if I can do that again. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous, just as you said, mangled. The only thing left was your seat, right?
Right. The only thing that was left was my, driver's side seat.
Oh. Thank you. We're getting a correction from our producer here.
No problem. Thank you.
Because here looks good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you. This is live.
There you
folks.
Go. As long as I don't this stand is, up singing, I'll this be okay.
This is streaming live. Yeah. Thank you for the correction, Michelle, very much.
And I'm sorry. I'm trying to think back to.
Oh, I said the. So we found you spun around,
yes.
And we saw you greeting this driver en face, right? Face
right.
to face here. A little bit more about.
And when I, and actually one of the things I forgot to mention to you, Suzanne, in my earlier conversation was my phone was actually ringing at the time of the 18-wheeler in my car. And all I remember is when I curled up, I took my arms and curled up in my driver's side. The 18-wheeler's tire was in my passenger seat. So had I thrown my arms to the side or tried to grab something, it would have been a lot worse. And when I saw the tire in my car, it was still very hard to understand. I opened my eyes. I said, is this real? And I was able to unbuckle my seatbelt. The radio was still playing.
My word.
And the driver's side was like untouched. The seat would still move.
Oh, my goodness.
Everything. And the way that the driver diligently, coming at me, very good at how he maneuvered the truck, actually moved my car alongside with his. Obviously, you could see by the tire in the
yes.
car.
Yes.
And by doing that, it popped the hood up. So that prevented any of the windshield shattering on me. So it was a lot of things that happened in a matter of seconds that are hard to understand unless you're in that situation. And it was hard for me to understand for period of time, how did I survive this?
Yes.
But knowing that I did, and believing in a lot of things that I believe in, I knew that this was my second chance in life. And I knew that I was going to do something to make sure that I live my life according to Anna, not according to anyone else.
How wonderful. You also said to me an interesting phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a chance to briefly get together about this, but it was it's such a moving and fascinating story that I remember a lot of the detail that you told me. And that was, you said you actually felt as though you had the ability to watch this, to watch yourself outside yourself. Can you describe that a little bit?
It was very odd.
Or not.
You know, I mean, it depends on how people believe in what they believe. And sometimes you have to go through these experiences to understand.
That's right. It's different than belief experience, isn't it?
Right. I had this feeling like I was standing in the center of the highway where the dividers were, and I could see myself in the car.
Yes.
And as soon as I opened my eyes and realized I was alive, then the reality actually came in of the impact. But it was very, very real.
Sure.
I felt like, okay, now I'm watching myself in the car.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of things, you know, doctors will say it's because your mind, this, that, and the other thing.
No,
but
that's,
you know,
their mind,
that's
not
theirs.
Yours.
Because I said, they didn't know my car, they didn't know anything, but I could see it.
Sure.
I could see it. And so, again,
There are a lot of such stories, and people search for mental explanations.
Yes.
But when you're in the situation, you don't need a mental explanation,
no.
I'm told, because you know what you're seeing.
Right, and no one in the medical field or any other field is going to be able to convince me that I didn't.
Yes, yes.
And that's fine, you know.
Yes.
Everyone has their opinion about things, and I haven't gone away yet in a white straitjacket.
So tell me what that... I don't know if one interprets that on the spot or whatever, but what would an experience like that, does that have meaning to you? I mean, have you interpreted that since then, or maybe even on the spot?
I interpret it time after time after time of thinking about it, reimagining it.
Yes.
Looking at the car, that was my second chance.
Yeah, but this experience of being sort of outside your physical body, mm-hmm. and watching it, Did that hold a specific message for you? Just that, isn't that curious? Or, you know.
You know, to tell you the truth, it just kind of reaffirmed that I had a second opportunity here to make, you know, have another life, per se.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are reasons why things happen to people at certain times. And if that was the reason, if that was the answer for me to believe, I'm here.
Yeah. A key thing that you'd said originally when we talked, that since the name of this show is Life is a Spiritual Occasion,
yes.
I'm going to take every opportunity, if I may,
sure.
to sort of pull those examples out. But you described that to me, and you said a lot of people think that's crazy. Well, I happen to be one who might not think that.
Correct.
But nonetheless, I said, you know, when that, what happened right then and there? And you described it, and I said, what did it mean? And you said, there's more to me.
There
I
is.
I realized
yes.
there's more
okay.
to me than that.
There is
and
more
I
to me.
I thought that was pretty important statement, and I'm wondering if you can conjure that back up
sure.
for our audience.
When I say there's more to me, meaning that I have a lot more to give to people. I have a lot more to learn. I have a lot more to take. And I want people to understand who I am and maybe why I am who I am. You know, because a lot of times people say, well, I don't know why this person feels so strongly about certain things. Well, you know, if you think back, maybe it's experiences. And a lot of times I stand up for what I believe in. I stand up for myself. Don't need anyone standing there to defend me. I will do it myself because I believe in what I do, why I do it, and the purpose I have in life. And I have a beautiful daughter, wonderful husband, and I cherish it every day. And I have a very strong belief in my religion, in my family, and in the things that I bring to this world. be it work, be it family, be it whatever the case may be. Sometimes I feel too strongly about things, and people understand them.
Yeah, and also the notion of having this extraordinary experience brings to you that. I mean, tell me where you, you know, if we drew a big old line out here about, mm-hmm. you know, where you felt, do you think that experience was the changing moment for you?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Because I think we've all had car accidents one way or another.
Yes.
And I remember when I first got my driver's license and getting into a car accident, and I was, I think, more upset about what my parents were going to say than I was upset about the accident.
Yeah, or what was, you know, what's happened to the car, or is
exactly.
the other person's car bent or something, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that one accident in particular led me to believe that there was a reason to learn about what's going on in my life. I had just lost my mother 5 years before that. There was a huge void in my life at that time. And this was like a wake-up to say, think about yourself. Everyone else around you is okay. But take yourself first. Because a lot of times we step back and help everyone else, and they forget that sometimes we need a little help. So I think in that case, in that instance, it was me first.
Mm-hmm.
Think about my life. Think about the things that I want to do and the things that I want to continue to do for my daughter.
In a way that you might never have done before.
Exactly. I probably would have not paid attention to a lot of the things that I pay attention to now.
Yeah.
Or feel strongly
so
about.
So if we look at these pictures, which I've shown a couple times now, we know that the survival of that accident, and not, you know, survival with a scratch on
mm-hmm.
your hand or a cut on your hand, is a miracle. But I'm now certainly interested in the miracle that's living now. The
yes.
miracle called Anna that lives now. And as you say, there's more of you. There's more of you. So tell us about pre-Anna and post-Anna. Tell us about how you think that's changed. And you know, and really, how
mm-hmm.
does, if you sort of think about that and you're willing to share it with us.
Right. I think pre-Anna, I was just going every day, just as a normal average person. I would get stressed over a lot of things that were totally not in my control, but I thought I could. I would wrestle with a lot of different decisions because I really wasn't sure if I was making the right one or not, but we don't always know if we do make the right decision. I was a little bit more uptight. I was more stressed. I was more high-strung. A lot of things changing in my life. I had to move from New Jersey to Texas, and my husband at the time had fallen through the ceiling and became a paraplegic at my feet. And my daughter and I, you know, had a life-changing event there. So little by little, things were happening in my life. And at the moment of the accident, I felt like I was given that fair opportunity to change the things I wanted to change, things that were in my control.
Okay, and how does that look and feel?
Feels great. Feels great because although we still get stressed over things in a daily life, fast-pacing life as we live today, the things that I would probably have gotten stressed over, anxious, and upset about, I sit back and I rethink it, and if it's really not worth it, I move on. And a lot of people especially in my family, have noticed that when they're upset about something and they're talking to me about it, and I'm not reacting that way. And I may come back an hour later and tell you exactly how I feel, but that's because I've decided that I'm going to think about the things I decide and want to do and reaction. And if I'm not ready to give you an answer, I'm not going to.
What's it like to wake up on day one and know that there's something different in you? I'm going to go philosophical on
yeah.
you now, so hold on to your microphone.
Hold on to my seat because
That's
I'm
right.
going out for a ride.
That's right.
Well, immediately after the accident, a lot of that hadn't yet transpired.
Sure. I can imagine.
I didn't even want to get behind a steering wheel, let alone
wow.
go out into the car and...
Understandable.
You know, a supervisor that I had at the time said, well, you know, it's like riding a horse. Once you fall off, you got to get back on. And I said, no, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, It's not, and I don't wish it on anyone to find out why. But at that time, too, I decided she can't not tell me what it felt like and how I should proceed.
Sure.
So it took a while, and as things were transpiring in that few months, I just had time to reflect and to understand that this is something that was real. I could have died instantly. The MTs were trying to find a reason why I should have high blood. You know, my when they were taking my vitals, they couldn't understand why I was so calm. They kept taking it from arm to arm, and I said, "What are you doing?" They're like, "Well, someone in this type of accident should have their blood pressure should be extremely high or extremely low, or you're going to go pass out, and you're normal." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, have you ever had death face you, or you faced your own death?" "No." I said, "Well, I did." And when you talk about it, if you know for sure that that was the changing thing in my life, an episode of my life that changed my view, my perception. Will I argue about it? Will I decide right now what I'm going to do about it? No. I have time. Mm-hmm. Because that's how life is.
Does gratitude play a role in this sort of change in Anna?
Yes, I'm grateful for being here.
Yes.
I have my daughter, who is my only child. And her father, unfortunately, had this accident. And I needed to be there for her. If for anyone. My mother passed away. Yes. My husband at the time had this accident. And my daughter was the only person I had, and I was the only person she had.
Yes.
So when I think about it, yes. I did it, and I thank God every day because I was there for my daughter, and I still am.
Yeah. How old is your daughter?
She is now 32.
She's married, I think. Yes.
She's married. She has three dogs. And she has a great career. And great. She's got a great personality and very positive on life.
Uh-huh.
And she's a big cheerleader. She's a big promoter of mom, as I am with her.
That's wonderful. You said to me also, you said, when I asked you this post,
yes,
right, and you said, "I'm stronger, I'm not scared."
Yes.
So give our audience a sense of what that, a life that feels stronger and unafraid, what's that like? Because many folks struggle with just that very thing, and mm-hmm. you just offered it to me.
A lot of people feel that they're not strong enough to take on certain things that come their way. Well, I faced an 18-wheeler, and I won. So, in retrospect, I learned not to be afraid of things in life. I value what I have. I confront. So I'm not afraid, because a lot of things that happen to us on a daily basis can be frightful alone. And I decided I'm not going to be afraid. I wasn't afraid if I died.
Yes.
I was okay.
Yes.
So I don't think I really should be afraid of other things. I take things, I analyze them sometimes, and I make what I believe to be the right choice.
If we were to call that, setting your own life, it sounds to me like you're pretty much the director of your own life.
Yes, I am.
At this point. Do you see that, since this show is all about spiritual occasions, do you see that as a spiritual component? I mean, is that different than just saying somebody takes a course in how to make a good decision and so they say, "Oh, I can show you what to go, here's point one, here's point two." There's something else about knowing that, huh?
There is. I mean, no one's teaching me that.
Yes.
It's all by experience, by real life experience. And I think that sometimes if people are faced with some experiences, be it an illness, be it an accident,
mm-hmm.
or a really bad decision they made along the way, don't walk away from it saying, I'm not worthy. Or, I can't believe this is happening to me. People tend to put themselves down for things like that. And you shouldn't, because it makes you stronger. And I always said, there were a lot of things that happened in my life in a short period of time. And I still went to work. I still took care of my daughter. I took care of what I had to take care of. And a lot of people would say, God only gives you enough that he knows you can handle. And I said, well, on Sunday, I'm going to put a post-it note on my head. So when I go to church, I'm going to say, I've had enough. I don't mind sharing. Because you have to have humor sometimes in your life.
Yes, don't you? Though
no. You do. Because there were plenty of days where I would hide in the closet with a pillow and just cry so that my daughter wouldn't hear me. You have to confront things that come your way. Not easy for everyone. Not easy depending on the situation. But if you take it one step at a time, you'll get to your destination. You just have to be patient with yourself, and you just have to believe in yourself. And that's the one big thing that I took away from all of this, was believe in myself, believe in what I do, and just pray that I do it all right. It doesn't have to be accepted by everyone. My motto is, you don't have to like me. I don't have to send you a Christmas card. But we just have to work together. Uh-huh. So basically, that's how life is. You don't have to like me. You don't have to understand why I do what I do or how I do it. It'd be great if you did. But I'm not going to also change to fit everyone else's mold. And I think that's one of the things I used to do before, was fit into what they would like me to be, fit into what it is that they need me to be right now, and I would never think of myself first.
Yeah. That self-awareness. I guess if you stand in the middle of a highway and an island and look at someone that just survived an 18... I know now to say 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
So I am going to face such
I made sure I counted all the time.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I did.
But I can't tell how many people are going to crash on me for saying 16 before. But nonetheless.
That's okay.
That's right. It is okay. But this freedom... Mm-hmm. That comes from knowing that, from that kind of detachment, and then stepping right back in and saying, you know, from here looking, knowing that's survival, and now you get to take charge, or your life is never going to be the same. So you get to take charge of that being. Certainly fits my definition of spiritual freedom.
Yes, it does. I mean, because there's plenty of times when I encounter, trust me, my life is not perfect. It's stress-free and all this other great stuff.
Yeah, you're
but
not.
There are moments in my life when things are not going.
Sure.
Be it illnesses and things like that. And sometimes I just say, well, maybe I'll just go stand on 78 and see what happens, right? Of course, I'm not going to.
Yes.
But you get to that point where I can't deal with this anymore. But then moments later, I'm saying to myself, okay, yeah, you can. You can deal with this. There's other things in life that you can't, but this you can. And I think it's I don't want to say talking to myself, because people will say, oh, God, she really does need the white straitjacket, but for those that don't understand, but it's basically talking back to myself to say, you've been through worst-case scenarios.
Yes.
Real ones with,
yes.
with family and with myself. That I just look at it and say, you know, it'll be okay. It always is. Tomorrow, this afternoon, whatever the moment may be, it's not going to be as bad as it is right now. It will get better.
Mm-hmm.
It has to.
And there are things over which we have no control that we just need to know, I have no control.
And it's okay.
Yeah, and it's okay. And who am I in the matter of not controlling this particular incident?
Exactly. Very true. You can try to control everything in your life. You can try to control other people's lives in your life. Kids, parents, things like that. But at the end of it all, you can't.
Yes.
You cannot control everyone. You can only control yourself. And by doing that, others will see who you are and what you mean by your actions, what you mean by your words. Because a lot of times people hear us, but they don't really listen.
Oh, yeah. All right, so miracles happen, right?
Miracles do happen. That was one miracle on July 27th.
Yeah. Do you suppose that if we paid closer attention, if we knew that about ourselves, about our inner being, right, that those things were available, and it's like you said before, you know, I'm stronger, I'm not scared. So if we had that capacity, do you suppose and paid attention that there might be a bunch of little mini miracles in our lives that maybe even daily or something?
I believe so. I mean, I believe that there are a bunch of little miracles happening that we don't see them as one because we're not thinking that in that motion. But days later, weeks later, months later, you realize that a decision you made actually came out to be the best decision ever. And it not only impacted you, but it impacted someone else. It's kind of like a miracle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I gave the right advice or whatever the case may be. And the way that I look at life, that I'm not scared, I'm stronger, because when you go through these trials and tribulations in your own life and you pick yourself up, and they say you dust yourself off and you go back again and you go forward, I've done that several times. My daughter's done it several times. And we've walked that. And we lived it. And we're here.
Okay, so supposing, and again, now we're in virgin territory here. So, but supposing someone doesn't have a tragic piece of news or happenstance in their life or have an accident like this, how do we get there, Anna? How do we get that knowing inside, that freedom that you describe? You know, you didn't say your life was trouble-free. You didn't say your life was stress-free. You just said, you know, you're stronger, you're not scared, and that you have control of your life, right?
Right.
So how do people get there? I mean, does it always take tragedy? Does it always take such a horrendous incident? Or is there a way of knowing, do you think? And we didn't talk about this, so I'm doing it to you.
Yeah, you are. Million-dollar question. I really don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I can only say by experience that in my lifetime so far, you know, everyone, when they face some sort of tragedy or an awakening of some sort because someone's sick.
Awakening is a good word, yes.
Mm-hmm. And they finally decide, I'm going to go do something about it. And I often wonder, why didn't you do something about it 20 years ago? And maybe you would have already been in a different field or in a different level of thinking and acting and maybe preventing. But we're not like that. Human beings cannot be, you know, of course we would be thinking about the future and we'd have all the lottery numbers and we'd all be rich. But we only react when things happen.
So knowledge doesn't do it, but experience does. Again,
experience,
you keep giving
does.
Us that message. Yeah.
Experience does, because, I mean, as much as you try to protect yourself and your family from anything, tragedies, accidents, whatever the case may be, you can do all you can. But when you're faced in that moment in life that you cannot control, I knew I could not control my destiny at that point. That's when you decide, I'm learning, I'm doing, I'm not afraid.
I love that. It's the first time you've said that. I'm learning, I'm not afraid. Yeah. So the experiences happen to us, whether we pay attention to them and whether we clear ourselves to pay attention to them leads to whether we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're learning, perhaps that's when we recognize these gifts. You said gratitude was a big part of this for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, gratitude is very big, because I thank God for everything that I have. I thank my husband every day for a great day. And sometimes he's like, but honey, I'm like, no, it is what it is. You know, when you've had a wonderful day for whatever reason, even working. Okay, I mean, retired for 2 months and went back to work. I enjoy seeing people enjoy life. I know there's a lot of things that we go through in life that we cannot prevent from happening. My mother could not have prevented from having the cancer she had. A lot of things could happen. But if you learn how to handle it, if you learn what decision you want to make or what your outcome is that you want to have, that's when you can control the moment, the actions, and approaching. I could not prevent my mother from dying, but I could make her happier during that transition. So I did whatever I could to help her.
And is that not a part of it too? Now we're waxing philosophical here, but when we know that about, you know, strength and not being afraid and gratitude and those kinds of things, are we not more available for others?
Yes, we are.
It's like you said earlier, I think when we were talking, you said, you know, I come first. Well, someone listening to that without hearing the whole rest of our conversation could think, well, that sounds a little selfish.
Right.
But it's self-full.
Yes.
And then does that not give you, it's like you say, caring for your mother or whatever, does that not then give you more ability when you know yourself that well to want to give to others?
Yes, it does. Because you can get very tired and very upset when you keep giving and giving and no one ever comes back to give you anything in return or thank you or appreciate your actions. You get tired. You get dragged down in things. So I know me first, and I'm not being selfish because it is about me. It is about my life because no one can control my destiny. I can't control my destiny, but I can control how and what I do now.
Nice. Yes.
A lot of people can't, and I'm not saying that I can 100% of the time. And like I say to people, do the best you can at what it is you're trying to do. It may not be the right way. It may not be the way you wanted it to be. But if at the end you can say, I did a great job, I did the best I could, that's good enough.
It is. Because it absolutely is.
Yes. So a lot of times people feel that they have to be up at the upper level. They have to achieve and beat everybody out. And that's the only way they're going to be happy about it. And I'm like, hey, if I can just throw the rock across the street and not across town, I'm okay. I'm not competitive.
Is that a result of this? Did that change since you're...
I don't think I ever really was competitive because I didn't think I really was good at anything growing up. Gosh. I mean, it was like, you know, I was the only daughter, 3 kids, 2 brothers, and... You know, whatever the oldest and the youngest did wrong, I was the one, you know, getting reprimanded anyway, just in case I thought about it. So I was like, okay, you know, I was never really into sports growing up. So I was never really into a competitive mode. But of course, you know, every once in a while you have it. But nowadays, I even talking to my stepsons, my youngest one, to say, it's okay if you don't win because you did the best you could. Maybe tomorrow. But if you don't win, it's okay.
Uh-huh.
It's not the end of the world, as we say.
Yeah. Know yourself.
Right.
So we're talking about the discoveries from a major life event, how that can change us. We talked about once you're aware of something, I think that, as I heard you, that you have a strong impetus to be responsible. Once you're aware of what's available, that you... Tell me, is that true? I'm making that up. You tell me, does that ring true for you, that once we're aware, we have a strong desire to be responsible, to stay that way, to stay aware, to stay in charge of ourselves, not in charge of things we can't control?
Exactly. And I think you can do that because once you actually sit and think about what's important to you and how did I get to where I am today, and we know that there's always, you know, some faults of ours that come into play, and we may regret some of these things, but along the way, you learn. And that's why I keep saying we keep learning.
Yeah, that's a strong thread here that I hope our audience is hearing. Yeah.
Yes, and I mean, I've always said you never stop learning about anything in life, because it's not like a book that comes when you're born that gives you all the directions.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah, right.
So you keep learning about yourself. You keep learning about your strengths, your weaknesses. And one of the things I've always believed in is, and maybe that was my parents as we were growing up, if you know you're not good at something, don't give up. Just try it a different way. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
You know, if we weren't good at whatever the case may be, we just tried to do it a different way. Maybe that's the engineering in us. If it doesn't fit this way, we'll try it that way. So, I mean, in life, that's pretty much the same as well.
Have you found that life is less of a puzzle, that it tends to be more understandable to you when you have this sort of way of being in the world?
In some cases, but in other cases, I still see that there's a puzzle to it. And that, you know, part of it is trying to figure out where that puzzle piece is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because our lives, you know, again, going back to what my daughter and I had experienced on our own, left a lot of puzzle pieces that didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we always thought, that's not how I planned my life to be.
Yeah.
That's not how I planned 20 years from my life to be here. And so that's the missing puzzle piece. And so when you're kind of thrown into that, you try to figure out, okay, now I am here.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do? And unfortunately, there are a lot of people who decide there's nothing more I can do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when they give up on themselves.
I think someone once said to me, and I'm pulling this out of here, that, you know, we look at everybody's life has these ups and downs, these
right.
learning lessons,
mm-hmm.
these things that happen. But whether we hold them as stumbling blocks or stepping stones can make all the difference in the world in
yeah.
terms of our understanding and coping with or growing and learning,
mm-hmm.
which you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
growing and continuing to grow and learn. So, you know, there's one thing in saying, you know, why does this happen to me?
Right.
And there's another thing in saying, why'd this happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same kind of, it's the same incident. How we hold it in our scheme of things, right, can make a difference. It's the same,
yes.
it's the same, you know, it's either a stumbling block or stepping stone or somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, how we look at that, you know, and the difference in those two things, you know, why does this happen to me? Why is this happening?
It's like
me? In terms of your learning that you're
right.
talking about, yeah.
Because there are people, you know, I have a younger brother that he'll always say, it always happens to me. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen to me. And yes, that's life, right?
Yeah.
You always feel like you're the one that it's going to roll down on and you're going to get crushed because everybody else around you is in on different terms. But I think what you have to do is first you have to understand what it is you want to do in your life. No one has the answer perfectly. Then understand how you're going to get there with what you have today. And just hope that it gets mapped out and works accordingly. You're going to come into those curves in the road and you're going to come across those stepping stones. And I think you have to be strong enough to understand or to know, what do I do when I get there? And sometimes that comes from our support,
mm-hmm.
from our family,
mm-hmm.
from our friends.
Our inner world, too.
Our inner world, right, that has this understanding, like, I can do this. I mean, and that's what I always say to people. Don't discount yourself. Say I can, I will, or I won't. And don't say, well, I don't know, maybe I will, maybe I won't. You know, no, I will. One of the things that drives me nuts for my daughter is, like, she'll go to take a drive-thru. Can I have, and I'm in the other seat going, yeah, you can have anything you want. You're the customer. She's like, Mom. And I'm like, but I'm thinking to myself, you can have anything you want. And they're not going to say no. And I'm trying to influence her to say, I will, I want, I can. Because that's the first step in us accepting ourselves and appreciating who we are, what we bring to the table, and thanking the people around us who've been our support.
Yeah. You know, I think that we build trust in ourselves, keeping testing that, right?
Yes, you do.
I would imagine. I mean, just as I listened to you over, what, from 06 to 19. Now, that's a decade plus, as we can all do the math there.
Right.
You begin to trust that ability in yourself and to learn by experiences. And it begins, so it has this effect to build and grow and have. You know, you were talking before about life crushing you. Well, I mean, you had the most graphic of experiences in that domain. There was something about to crush you. So not everybody's experience of a crushing detail is quite that same.
No. I wouldn't wish it on anyone.
No. But this notion that, you know, there's more of me it's such a poignant observation, and I so enjoyed it when we were talking a little bit earlier, briefly, about this incident. The other thing that I think that you mentioned that as I'm thinking about our conversation here today is this this notion of gratitude. I mean,
I'm very grateful for my parents, my upbringing, and who I am. And the saddest part is to know that there have been people along the way of my life who have mistreated me and who have taken advantage of me for the mere fact that I am a giver. I have a heart. And people who I thought were friends or acquaintances that I was helping were just taking. And that's really bad. You know? When you think about it and you say, I'm a very smart person compared to what I just did.
Aww.
How can
that's
I
great.
Do that? I'm smarter than that.
That's great, yeah. Yeah
but
yeah.
It happens.
Yes.
And we hear that every day.
Yes.
How smart people get tangled up.
Yes.
Well, I was one.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that, you know, my future doesn't hold another tangling somewhere, but I think this time I'm a little bit more prepared.
Yes. Oh, I certainly sounds that way.
Yeah, because every time it knocks me down, I always say, I'm back. I'm back. And I will be back.
Yeah.
And so I'm not being selfish. I'm saying me first.
Yes. Well, and you know, I think there must be some proverb someplace that says, you know, we can't help others, we can't love others until we help or love ourselves.
And we can't help those that don't want to help themselves.
Well, there you go.
Because no matter how many times you say, you know what, I'm really going to dedicate myself to that person and I'm going to make them a better person.
It's none of our business, quite really.
No, but if you're trying to
not
help
in a Christian
them,
way, but I'm talking
right.
about.
I mean, there may be somebody that has come into your life and you think you can help them. If they don't help themselves or respect themselves, there is nothing you or anyone else in this world is going to do it. So I say don't waste your time and your
energy. Well, I think our counselors and our therapists know a great deal about that particular aspect.
Oh, I'm sure
aspect.
They do.
Yeah.
But sometimes us non-therapists and counselors encounter these people who are trying to bring out the counseling in us to try to help. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that you have to trust in yourself. Believe in what you do, and just be happy, be excited about every day, and that's your gratitude.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Anna, I have to tell you, I thank you so much for sharing this, being willing, actually, to share this very personal experience, but all the lessons and growth that's come from it. And I happen to be fortunate enough to know you experience you. And I think anybody, I don't know how good our cameras are here, but anybody that can see that glowing smile and that face of understanding in what life is about. So I'm just so very grateful that you're willing to share that
Thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And again, it was a life-changing event. It was one that had me understand that I'm given a second chance and I better not screw this one up. So here I am.
Full out. Anna plays full out. Can
that's
you tell?
That's it. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I try to, you know, curb a little bit on that appetite. But, you know, sometimes people only understand and hear when you're up front. Thank you again, Suzanne. I appreciate it so much. And I'm so happy that you've crossed my life here.
Yeah, so. I am happy as well. So we've been here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com or WHCRDB. And this was such a poignant conversation, I didn't stop in the middle to acknowledge the sponsors that really helped to support Huntington Chamber Radio and the gift that they give us all to have an opportunity to hear shows such as this one and to listen to you. But there are many, many other wonderful shows on Huntington Chamber Radio, and our sponsors our benefactors are very, very important in that whole scheme. So I hope they forgive me for buzzing through this, but I didn't want to stop in the middle to interrupt some of the wonderful
Thank
things you shared with us.
And I appreciate the sponsors as well.
Yeah. We have a new email. So listeners to Life is a Spiritual Occasion, if you have questions, if you have comments about one of the shows you hear, or you'd just like to get in touch with us, you can by with the following email address, life is a spiritual occasion, all one word, at gmail.com.
Thanks.
So let me give you that right again. Life is a spiritual occasion at gmail.com. And we'll be back here on the 16th of May from 4 to 5 with continued exploration and discussion of Life as a Spiritual Occasion. And so from the bridge, let me just put this back on because I always have this wonderful chant that I like to play at the end of the show. So, sorry for the silence. So from the bridge, this is your host, Suzanne LeGay, saying goodbye for one more month.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee is demanding an unredacted copy of the Mueller report, as he accuses, without any proof, Attorney General William Barr of misrepresenting the conclusions of the special counsel.
Attorney General Barr appears to have shown an unsettling willingness to undermine his own department in order to protect President Trump. Barr's words and actions suggest he has been disingenuous and misleading in saying the president is clear of wrongdoing.
Democratic Representative Jerry Nadler went on to say that both Special Counsel Mueller and Attorney General Barr will be called to testify before House lawmakers next month. Parts of the Southeast and Midwest are dealing with severe weather today. Forecasters say there's a high risk of strong thunderstorms and tornadoes in about two dozen states. A confirmed tornado touched down near Higgins, Texas, a small town in the Panhandle just northeast of Amarillo. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true, when it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
A man was arrested Wednesday night for trying to enter St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. New York Archbishop and Cardinal Timothy Dolan applauded the job done by security to protect the church and worshipers from harm.
Last night proves that it works. We've got a very well-trained interior security staff We've got the constant help of the New York Police Department, who usually has an officer on the block or, for ready assistance. We've got the ready attention of the Fire Department of New York. So it works, and last night showed that.
The 37-year-old from New Jersey was carrying two gas cans, lighter fluid, and lighters. He's being questioned by detectives, and it's unknown if the motive is connected to the recent fire at the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. The Labor Department is reporting that 192,000 Americans filed first-time unemployment benefits last week. That's 5,000 fewer than the previous week and the fewest since September of 1969. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world. And